All right. We got some exciting stuff going on. Obviously, fifth graders visiting this weekend, and then starting next weekend, you will be officially Velocity sixth graders. So we're so glad to have you. And the whole next week, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday, starting next weekend, Velocity will be packed for that week because we'll have the new sixth graders, we'll have the sixth graders who will then be called seventh graders, we'll have the seventh graders who will then be known as eighth graders, and we'll have the eighth graders who will be ninth graders but not yet in vertical. So we'll have like packed house for all week. So I'm excited about that. Also, one thing, Tiffany graduated this weekend. So she is, believe it or not, Tiffany is finally done with middle school. Isn't that exciting? No, I'm just kidding. She graduated from UNM this weekend. And then also, tomorrow is Jen's first Mother's Day. So make sure and wish her happy Mother's Day. And of course, make sure and wish your mothers happy Mother's Day, because that would be bad if you didn't, right? And because I know you guys love your mom so much. So here's the thing. We were talking a little bit about cheese earlier, and which cheese? Okay, everybody quiet. Thank you. We were talking about which leader liked which cheese, you know, the best. And I happened to share that I like nacho cheese. Now, nachos are great. I love being able to spread the cheese all over the chips. And I think I've told a lot of you this story, but I was out in New Jersey back in January. I was guest speaking at a winter retreat with, for those of you who went to Lone Tree last year, remember Andy, our guest speaker. And so I was out there in New Jersey hanging out with him, and he had this idea. It was the first night of the retreat, and the camp staff had just brought in this big tub of nacho cheese, bunch of chips, bowls. So everybody was eating nachos all night. It was great. But, of course, we didn't quite finish all the nachos. So Andy said, hey, Kevin, you know what you should do is dare me to dunk my face in the nacho cheese, okay? So I dared him. Okay, now there's the cheese. So, of course, I was like, I got up in front of the mic. And I was like, guess what, guys? I think Andy's too much of a chicken to dunk his face in all that cheese. So then, of course, everybody's all, dunk him, you know, all so excited. So, of course, Andy dunked his face, all right? So here's a picture of his cheese face. And there was nacho cheese dripping from his ears and his nose out of his mouth. He, in fact, even blew bubbles in the nacho cheese. It was draining out of his hair. It was everywhere, okay? So everybody had their good time, took pictures. It was great. Then the camp staff came in to clean up. And they're picking up all the trash. And they grab the tub of nacho cheese that Andy has just dipped his face in and blown bubbles in. And they pour it into a reusable container so that we could reuse the cheese. Okay? Now, all of us, they hadn't seen that we had done that. And so Andy's like, Kevin, they're reusing the cheese. I was like, oh, no. What do we do? Right? So we didn't know what to do. We didn't say anything. Well, guess what? The next day at lunch, we had roast beef sandwiches with nacho cheese. So you had the option when you got up to the table. You had the option. You were like, oh, great, roast beef. Oh, I remember that nacho cheese, right? And I was like, dude, I cannot bring myself to eat that cheese. That's, to me, that's not nacho cheese. That's like Andy's face cheese. You know what I mean? I don't want to go there. So I didn't want to eat it. In fact, a lot of people who had seen last night didn't want to eat it. Because why? The cheese had been compromised, okay? It had been compromised. It had been introduced to something that very quickly decreased its value and taste, all right? Now, let me define that word compromise for you. It means to expose or make liable to danger, suspicion, or disrepute, to reduce in quality, value, or degree, to weaken or lower. Tonight, we're going to talk about the dangers of compromise. Psalm chapter 1. If you haven't turned there already, go ahead and do so. But we live in a world where sin is made to look appealing. Satan likes to package it in a way that we want whatever that thing is. Whether it's sinful or not, a lot of times it looks really fun. It looks really good. We live in that world. It's everywhere around us, on TV, in the movies, in magazines. Everywhere we look, sin is portrayed as having no bad consequences. It looks like a lot of fun, something that everybody does, and we don't have to worry about it because there's no bad consequences, is the way our world portrays sin. Well, tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to learn what compromise leads to, all right? And in Psalm chapter 1, it contrasts the life of a godly person versus the life of an ungodly person. And that's, as you see on your screen, what we're going to look at tonight. That difference, godly versus ungodly. As you know, on the back of your bulletin, there's a place to fill in the blanks and follow along as we study. But we're going to see the difference tonight. And tonight, what I hope to do, I'm not going to beg you guys tonight to follow God. I'm not going to say, please trust Jesus. Now, I hope that you do. But what I hope that we discover through our study tonight is we see how evident it is that the way of following God is the right way, and how evident it is that the way of living for ourselves and living for the world and living in sin is going to lead to nowhere good. And I hope you guys, because I know you guys are smart, will understand that if you're not living for Jesus Christ, you're headed nowhere. So we're going to contrast tonight the life of a godly person versus the life of an ungodly person. Let's go ahead and read Psalm chapter 1, the whole chapter, starting in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now verses 3, 4, and 5 are the verses we're really going to focus in on tonight. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. So you see the contrast. But are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, so let's start with the godly person. Let's look at their life. Number one, they are living a life that is planted firm. Planted firm. It says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I love, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 55:22. It says this, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And I love that picture that Jesus is there as our root system, as our foundation, and that no matter what comes our way in life, if we trust in God, he will never allow the righteous to be even shaken. No matter what storm in life may come your way, no matter what life sends at you, if you are following the Lord, it says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So planted firm. Number two, the thing about a godly life is that they will be producing fruit. It says that brings forth fruit in its season. Now, I don't want you to think the wrong thing. I don't want you guys to think like, okay, so I think this guy's saying that if I start believing in Jesus, that I'm going to grow like a peach on my ear, okay? He said I'm going to start producing fruit, you know? Am I going to turn into like a watermelon vine or something? Now, that might be kind of cool, you know? Like, I'm kind of hungry, funk, you know, and like a little peach forms right there. That might be kind of nice, right? That's not what I'm talking about. That's not how it goes. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are things that should be evident in the life of a godly person. Someone who is following God, their life should automatically begin to line up with these things. A tree produces fruit. And notice too, if you think about a tree, it's something that it automatically does. if it's a fruit-bearing tree, it automatically bears fruit, okay? I don't think any of you, I know I never have walked into your backyard and seen your tree trying really hard to produce fruit. Like, finally got an orange, you know? They don't do that, right? That doesn't happen. Your tree doesn't try so hard to produce fruit. What happens? Being a fruit-bearing tree, it automatically, as you take care of it, as it gets water and sunlight and soil, it automatically produces fruit. Now, don't think, though, what I'm saying is that you don't have to try at all, because that's not what it is. It does take work. It's not always easy. But as you take care of yourself and you water yourself with God's word, you spend time with the Son, Jesus Christ, and as you allow yourself to be taken care of like that, you will begin to produce these fruits. Now, here's one more thing to think about. We went through that list, love, joy, peace, patience, all those things. If those things are not in your life, if those things do not represent you, that's a dangerous place to be, because your life is not representing Christ. And that's a bad place to be. And so you guys need to analyze your life. Do you have love in your life? Joy, peace, patience? Are you gentle? Are you kind? If those things do not characterize you, then you're not producing fruit in your life. And that tells me you're not being taken care of. You're not allowing yourself the time that you need with God. John 15:5, Jesus says, "I am the vine." Later on, John 15:8, he says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." God wants us to be living that way. So, planted firm, producing fruit, and the third thing in the life of a godly person is that they should be prospering faithfully. It says, "Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Prospering faithfully. No matter what comes our way, we continue to grow. It says that the leaf does not wither. That when a storm comes, when the ice comes, when the wind comes, we may be in the middle of the storm, but when our roots are grounded in the love of Christ, God's not going to allow us to be shaken. And we prosper. It says that everything we do shall prosper. Now, that does not mean that everything that we do in life will be easy. But it does mean that there's never a need to worry, that we can always trust in God, that God's always going to be there. What a life, huh? That's the life of a godly person, planted firm, producing fruit, and prospering faithfully. But verse 4 gives us the contrast. It says, "The ungodly are not so." So let's look at the life of an ungodly person. Number one, in their life, they will be blown away. Says in verse 4, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Now, in Bible times, when you got hungry, you couldn't just run down to Raley's or Albertsons or Wild Oats and buy some Cheerios, all right? You couldn't just do that. If you wanted food, you had to go out and harvest the grain, make some bread. It was a big process, and this is what people did. So when they wanted food, they had to go out and make it. So what they did was they would go out into this wheat field or whatever kind of grain was growing. They would harvest the grain, or they would reap it. They would harvest it, and then they would start this process called winnowing. Okay, basically what you do when you winnow is you have a stack, a pile, kind of a bale of this stuff that you just harvested, this grain. But the thing is, sometimes this chaff or some weeds or stuff that you don't really want to take home with you grows in the middle of this wheat or this barley. So what they would do is they would go up onto a hilltop, usually where there would be some wind coming up from the other side, and they would take basically a pitchfork, okay, a big like 4 or 5 pronged fork, about 5 feet tall, and they would pick up kind of like a shovel. They would pick up some of the grain and throw it into the air. Now, the good grain was thicker, more sturdy, and so the wind wouldn't be able to take it away. And as they threw it up, it would fall back down to the ground. That's what they wanted to keep. But the chaff, the useless stuff, The minute the wind hit it, it was gone. It was gone basically with the wind. And it was blown away, and nobody ever cared about it anymore. And you know what? That's the life of a person who doesn't follow God, because when the first hard time comes, life doesn't go as we planned, what happens? It can blow that person away because they have no roots. They're not grounded in Christ. They worry. Their life becomes full of these things, and they get blown away by their circumstances. And it's unfortunate, but many people live that way. So the ungodly life gets blown away. Number two, they're bowing down. It says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now, that doesn't mean they won't be judged, but it means when they are judged, they will not be able to stand and face it because of what they deserve. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Did you catch that? It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. How many is every? All. Every single one. It says of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Every single person who has ever existed one day will bow their knee in proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord. Unfortunately, for the person who has lived their lives for themselves, this day will be too late for them. They will be there in the judgment, but they will not be able to stand. They will be bowing their knees saying, Jesus is Lord. God, forgive me. I am so sorry. And at this point, it will be too late. And that's why it's so important now to give your life to the Lord. They can't stand in the judgment. So they'll be blown away. They'll be bowing down. Number three, they'll be burning up. It says in verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. John 14, 6. You guys have heard it said a lot. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. It says God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. The life of a person not following God is leading nowhere. It's pointless. It's hopeless. You have to live for God. And the great thing about living a life for God is that it's worry-free. You guys ever wondered, tried to remember what it was like to be a baby and to not have any worries? I was thinking about this today. I was at a party. I was at Tiffany's graduation party. And I was watching some of the kids play on the playground. And I realized they didn't care about anything. There was no worries at all in their lives. They don't have to worry about eating. Their parents will take care of them. What they're going to wear. How their hair is going to look. I remember one kid ran up to me. His hair is just like, kind of like this, you know. He's got like chocolate smeared all over his face. He just got done playing in the playground. And I was just kind of laughing at him because he doesn't care. Not a worry in the world. Then later on, I came back and sat down. I look over in the playground. Same little kid is in the playground pulling his pants down, okay? And I was like, oh man, that's funny, you know. Because he has no worries. He doesn't even have to care about wearing clothes, you know. Not a care in the world. I don't care. I just want my pants off. I'm going to run around on the playground. That's what that kid said. And he just ran around until his mom took care of him and put his clothes back on, like a good mom, right? No worries. The life of a person who follows God, we have no need to worry. No matter what comes our way, no matter what storm we may face, there's never a need to worry. There's a lot of dangers in compromising. And you can see very clearly that the life of a godly person is the way to go. But the choice is up to you. God has given us that choice. And the choice is up to you. Will you follow God or will you live for yourself? It's up to you. Don't find yourself in a place of compromising, being mixed in with the world. Instead, be different, stand up for what you know is right, and follow the Lord. Let's pray. God, you are so good to us, and we are so in need of your mercy and your grace. God, help us to see tonight the very clear distinction between the life of a godly person and the life of an ungodly person. God, I pray for every student in this room, they would recognize how much they need you. That we can't continue to live our lives for ourselves, doing just what feels good or what we want to do. But God, we have to sacrifice absolutely every piece of our life to you. God, be with us and help us to do that. Help us to glorify you with our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Have a great day.